help my DTC grow. Strategies and quick wins that build up 8-figure DTC brand.
How to boost your e-commerce business through effective personalization and email marketing. Leverage expertise from George, an ex-marketing director of an 8-figure D2C brand, Reforge member, CXL instructor and tutor at Lithuania's leading ad school, Atomic Garden. George is also the founder of Yocto, an agency that helps wellness brands like Kilo Health, Column Broom and Pandya Health grow over the long term. In this podcast, you will get the answers to the following questions. How to segment your list, the right message, the right time, for the right people. How did you successfully personalize the content in a way that resonates with the target audience and builds trust? How could you optimize the existing flow of customers to increase conversions and revenue? What are the steps to overview this process?
And of course, I'm here to help your DTC brand grow, so I asked all my favorite questions at the end. Books to read, mistakes to avoid, quick growth tips, and tools to use. Now let's get ready!
From which source are you inspire yourself in the terms of new stuff that you could use at your agency or marketing stuff?
In learning, meaning I still do courses. Like I still go through books. I still try to actively learn from the best. If you want to hear a name, I'm part of Reforge, which is an organization mostly focused on tech companies, not e-commerce, but the learning there is great and you can connect with people that work in like super big companies like in Silicon Valley, etc. So I try to learn there and network. I read a lot of books. One I read recently was called Alchemy by Rory Sutherland, something like that. I'm not sure how to say it. Really nice on behavioral economics. And then I guess you learn on the job too, right? Like just trying and seeing what works, what doesn't work, trying to find patterns in what work. A big part is being connected to peers in the space, like other agencies. They can even be competing agencies, but like I'm regularly having calls with people from other agencies and like discuss what they're doing, what we're doing. Shout out to Magnet Monster, No Limit Email, King Adal. Those are all agencies that I'm connected with and that we keep in touch.
That's good. And could you share some insights on the research process and the key factors that led to tripling the sales of some emails?
Sadly, I don't have like some sort of secret that people won't have heard before. I think fundamentally what you want to know is two things. Like you want to know where people are today, like what's their current state. And you can find this by asking what prompted you to try the product, to come to the website and so on, right? Like that's kind of how you find this. And then the next thing that you want to know is where do you want to go next? Like, what's the goal? What's the desired outcome? The future state, if you will, that you want to achieve. And then if you have those two questions, then it's basically clear, right? It's all about the execution and you can optimize in two directions. You can optimize towards simplifying, reducing friction, if you will, and you can optimize towards increasing value. So it's an exercise of saying more with less. Basically,
how to choose the goal of the email strategy when I'm a D2C brand? What type of research should I do, or should I listen to my gut?
No, you shouldn't listen to your gut. You should do.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah.
Yeah, you should do exactly what I said. You should find what brings people to your website, to your products, and what they want to achieve with them. The way to do this in the real world is that you should first start with surveys, basically, right? And you should see what patterns emerge. So they might give you 20 reasons why they come to your website to try your products. Out of those 20 reasons, which of those reasons are similar? You can group those into related themes, right? And then you can come up with the top 3 or top 4 or top 5 reasons. And then once you know that, you can start having an actual strategy because now you know like that's what brings them here and that's what they want to achieve.
Great. And when I have this strategy, how to segment my list, how to be sure that the right message will go to the right people at the right time?
That's one of those things that people say, right message, right people, right time, but it's not so easy to achieve, right? Like there's, like imagine that you have 1,000 people, like maybe you can do it, but if you have 1 million people, then it becomes a little bit tricky to do it for everybody, right? So it's kind of utopic. As a phrase. And I think most brands are just not going to achieve this and they should not try to achieve this. What they should instead do is try to segment their lists according to the recency of the actions of the users. So if you've made a purchase, when was the last purchase you made? That's what recency is. This describes what people do. The more recent something is, the more probable is that the user does it again. Basically, right? So people that bought in the last 30 days they are more likely to buy than people that bought in the last year because it's more recent. That's universally true. Doesn't matter what you bought. And obviously on the individual level, it might not be true because maybe you bought something and you don't like it. You had a bad experience. So you want, as an individual, you won't repeat your purchase. But when you compare groups, it is always true that the more recent you are, the more likely you are to repeat something. So that's segmentation based on what people do. Recency is what allows you to do that. And you can make this more advanced by including frequency, which is how many times you read something. How many times did you purchase? How many times did you click an email? How many times did you start a checkout? La, 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 la. That's based on what people do. Now, you can stack on top of that segmentation that's based on why people do it, which brings us back to your previous question, which is how do you do research, right? And again, fundamentally, you want to know two things, where they are today and where they want to go in the future. And you can find this very simply by asking those two questions. As I said, what prompted you to try our products? What's the primary outcome you would like to achieve with our products? If you ask those two things, then you can know what matters to people. And to make this even more obvious and concrete for our listeners, and this is a real example, by the way, because we have a brand that sells a device that has to do with your fertility hormones, yes? And people buy this to see whether they're fertile or not. Now, imagine that there's two groups of people. There's people that want to get pregnant, yes? And people that want to avoid pregnancy. So if you know which of those two factors they're interested, like what of the two things they want to do, obviously the content should be very different, right? Like if you're trying to avoid being pregnant and I start telling you, hey, try our product and we're going to get pregnant in the next 3 months, you're going to be like, what the hell? So I'm saying this to make it concrete. If you know what people want, you can very easily adapt the content, personalize the content, change the strategy, change the messaging.
That's a really good point. And I know that you had some unique point of views, yeah.
Everything that I say is 100% true, and it's exactly the way I say it. And I've arrived at it after making a lot of mistakes. So I don't say this accidentally. You can overcomplicate things. You can ask 1,000 questions. You can try 1,000 things. But fundamentally, those are the two things you want to know. Like if you simplify it to its bare bones, those are the two things. You should obviously do more, ask more. Like, what is the age of the user? Like, I don't know, like, what's anything else that might be relevant? You should ask. Those are the two things you have to know to get, like, the 80-20 of research. If you know those two things, it's like 80-20.
You mentioned that you made lots of mistakes. What are the mistakes that you learned the most about?
I mean, I try to learn from every mistake. I think one mistake that I made when I had less experience, specifically, less experience working with big brands. I tried to keep things simple when things should be complex and keep things complex when they should be simple, if that makes sense. So like segmentation is a very big one, right? Because if you are a small company, then it makes sense to kind of not do too much segmentation because you don't have enough people, the segments won't be big enough, etc. If it's a big company, then it actually starts to matter quite a lot and you should be doing way more of that than you would think. So it's finding the balance of effort that you should put into the project, I guess. That's kind of one of the biggest.
And regarding email marketing, that mistakes usually appear for D2C brands. What do you think? What are the most important mistakes in email marketing and how to avoid them?
One of the most stupid things people do, excuse my friends, is that they take, let's say, Klaviyo's or whatever ESP they use, right? They take the template they have for one of their flows, check out abandonment. It's like the most common one. And then they duplicate this for every product. And suddenly they have 20 automations. But now, because they did not set it up correctly, because the template is not meant to do that, those automations start to overlap. And now you go through the website, you add 5 items to your cart, you start the checkout, and you start receiving 5 emails at the same time. It's not about this specific example per se. The big mistake is that they set up the automations and then they stop caring about them. They don't check whether they work, they don't check whether they fire correctly. And what ends up happening is that they bombard their users with emails that also overlap with the campaigns they send, creating a very jarring and poor experience for everybody. Users don't subscribe, they report as spam, ultimately causing deliverability issues. You can't really know what works because if you're sending 5 emails, how do you know which one of which caused the sale, right? Like it's kind of hard to know. Yeah, that's kind of a big one. They set up and forget, whereas it should not be like that at all.
Mm-hmm. Of course, it won't build trust in the customer's mind, and building trust is really important. What do you think? How did you successfully personalize a content in a way that resonates with the target audience and builds trust?
Trust is a very big topic. Honestly, I think it's way bigger than email marketing. It gets into like whether the brand, you know, has a brand in the first place, like when there's some sort of actual differentiation of the product, of the founder potentially, in case it's a founder-led product. Like, for example, one of our clients, it's again in the women's health space. Most of our clients are in the women's health space, funnily enough. Like, he's an actual doctor, right? So the products that we're promoting, like, we have an actual doctor behind them. So that builds a lot of trust, because it's not me dropshipping something from AliExpress. It's an actual doctor that's supporting this. So trust is, I would say, bigger than email marketing. How you build trust? Well, you have and use, hopefully, social proof within your emails, right? You use statistics within your emails. How do you create statistics? Again, you use surveys. One of the things we do, and I think very few people do this intentionally actually in our space, is that we run surveys that ask questions designed to create statistics. So we're going to ask something like, has your mental health improved since purchasing the product? Yes or no? And what this does is that it creates basically a claim that says 83% of our customers report they've improved their mental health. Boom, now I have social proof. Now I can use this within the emails. Now imagine that the answers are bad, right? Like maybe they say, no, nothing improved. Well, I don't have to publish this, do I? So this is a strategy that can't fail, because if it works, you use it. And if it doesn't work, then you learn what to improve on your product, and nobody really needs to know, right? Those are kind of two important tactics rather. And another point, because we spoke a little bit about research. Imagine that you're collecting that sort of research. Imagine that you're collecting, like, what's their painful state, what's their desired future state, through a pop-up, for example, through a quiz, something like that. You collect that, yes? Now you can use those properties to personalize the content of the emails with the reviews that are related to those points. So that's another way of building trust.
That's good. So it will be a loop of trust. If you say so, you will get the surveys, get these pop-up messages, and make the content of it, and constantly improving the process, if I'm right.
Everything is in loop, yes.
How could you optimize an existing flow like this? Or if you have seen maybe some D2C brands who have already some existing stuff on their mind, do they have to get rid of all of it, or you will examine it like it's yours and have the best parts and stick to it and just create some other parts to increase the effectiveness of it?
I'll tell you what I do. I'm not sure it's the correct approach, but I'll tell you what I do. First of all, I never work with people and think I'm smarter than them. I never do that. Like, there's a lot of agencies that have like a toolkit, right? Like they say, that's how we do this flow. That's how we do content calendars. That's how we send campaigns. And then they start working with you and they say, no, this is bad. Let's do it our way. I don't do it like that, because I assume that the people I work with are smart, right? Otherwise, they would not be successful. And we work with successful companies only. So I never come in and scrap things and start from scratch. We have 2 weeks, two full weeks, wherein we just try to understand what they're doing, like what worked in the past. Why are things done in the way they're done? What is their tech stack? When I say tech stack, I don't mean just what is their ESP. I mean, what do they use for reviews? What do they use for customer support? What do they use for pop-ups and list growth? What do they use for on-site personnel? We try to understand everything. And once we have this, usually we see that there is some sort of logic behind what they've already done. Usually the execution is flawed. There are mistakes that can improve. But the logic is there. So it's stupid to come in and say, I'm going to change everything and do things my way. So I never do that. I try to improve what they have. And then when that is done and we see results and we have trust with the client, because when we improve what they have, they see results fast, right? Then do we talk about building new things. So I would not say to anyone, no, you should do what I say. No, I will try to make what they have work, and then I'll try to improve what they have. What they should do, if they want to improve what they already have on their own, what they should do is ask themselves, is this technically correct? Like, does the setup work? And what I mean by that is, do the emails go out to the correct people? Are they reaching them when they should be reaching them? Do they overlap with other? Like, first of all, make sure that it works the way it's intended, right? And you will be super surprised by how often that's not the case. Just earlier today, I was checking the account. Very big brand in New York, very big brand, 60 million annual, right? Big brand. They have this tool. I'm not going to name the tool. I kind of want to name it, but I won't. That does retargeting on the website. And it doesn't work at all. Doesn't work at all. It sends half the emails it should. The emails it sends, like, do not, it's messed up completely. So it happens very often that it's not set up correctly, like just from the purely technical side. That's number one. Number two is that you should see the content. Does the content match the context? And the simple way to do this is that you should add the emails side by side, like use Miro or something like that, and add screenshots of the emails so that you see them together. Like, does this email logically follow from this previous email? Does it make sense in the customer journey? Are the people that receive it appropriate for, like, is the content appropriate for those that receive it? Like, oftentimes you will see things like, I don't know, get a discount off your first order, but it's actually going to customers that have already purchased, or it doesn't make sense, like stuff like that. And then once that's done, so you have ensured that it works well technically, that it's logically coherent, then you can think of how can I actually improve the quality of the content, which goes back into research and creating content that's based in some sort of grounding, right? Like, it's not just my opinion that, hey, my gut says we should say this. It's based on what people say. It's based on research. There's some element of validity into it in the first place.
Yeah, you mentioned retargeting and retention. It could be a big part of a D2C brand's life. What do you think? How could a D2C brand optimize the existing flow of customers to increase conversion and revenue? What are the steps to overview this progress?
I get asked this question like every time I get on a podcast or an event, and I always say the same thing, that retention is an outcome of using and liking the product. Using and liking the product. If I use the product and it's garbage, you're not going to retain me, right? Like, it's just not going to work. But today I want to give like a different answer than what I usually give. I'm going to say something extremely tactical. And I promise you, if someone is listening now, if they do what I say, exactly as I say, they're going to make money. I guarantee you that. I'm actually placing a bet right now. If you try what I say and it doesn't work, I'm going to give you money myself. I'm going to pay you, but it's going to work for sure. So what people should do is find the average days between the first and the second order. And let's say that's 30 days. I'm just saying a silly example, right? They should add an email that goes out after 30 days to those that did not place a second order. And that email should say, credit added to your account. You've won, I don't know, $9, $9.56. It should look personalized in rewards. The number doesn't matter. You should adjust the number according to like what your margins are. But it should say, credit added, you've won free money. That's what it should say. And then it should be like simple plain text, not designed or anything. And then it should say something like, explore our products, la 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 la. You have 2 days to spend your credit. Use this coupon code that looks personalized. It shouldn't be like discount 10. It should be like FXY95. So that it looks personalized, basically. You have 2 days to spend your free money. And I guarantee you that this promo will outperform any other promo. Even promos that have larger incentives, this one is going to outperform them. And it's all about the framing, that you are giving people free money. So do that and you will increase your repeat sales.
Yeah, yeah. I hope if somebody reached this level of the interview, they will try it and just be rich. Just be rich. That's the new motto.
It will work for sure. I guarantee you that. I'm willing to place bets on this.
Good. I saw it on your website that you also use some customer journey optimization and post-purchase stuff. What do you think? What is the most important thing in this? Of course, retention is a part of this, but how to optimize the whole customer journey? Okay, it will be a PhD thesis, but other than that, what are the most crucial things to look out at the post-purchase and the whole customer journey?
Let's think about this logically, right? If we put aside all romantic thoughts about like marketing, la la la, why do people go to a store? They go to buy something, right? Like, doesn't matter what it is. It's a transactional relationship. They go to your website, they buy something. So if you see it from that perspective, the best thing you can do is provide them a good transactional experience, no? Like, give them, for example, timely updates on where their order is. Give them content that will help them maximize the value of what they purchased. So that's what you should do. You should, first of all, disable the default Shopify notifications that you might have that probably overlap with the Klaviyo flows you've set up incorrectly. The way people do them overlaps most likely. So place a test order and see, and you'll see that it probably overlaps because you're using the incorrect metric. But anyway, you should replace that with a branded transactional experience. And you can use all sorts of tools. Again, I'm not going to name any tools, but there's multiple tools. If you Google transactional D2C flows, you'll find what I'm talking about. You should do that. And then you should go to your post-purchase flows and ask yourself, again, how can I make sure that people use and like the product? That's the question you should answer. And challenges is a very big way of doing that. You can, for example, I'll tell you a recent one. We have a gut health brand that basically, if you take the product, you experience the results, right? Like it helps you poop, I guess. But people don't really take the product somehow, like, and you can give them instructions, but they still don't take it. They forget it. It's kind of strange. So through a challenge that unlocks rewards, the more they use the product, you get them to use the product. And when they do use the product, they experience the value of the product. And when they do that, they actually run out of the product, so they have to buy more of the product. That's how you increase retention from, like, let's say, a more strategic way. How do I get them to use the product? That's kind of what you should be thinking.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't say customer journey optimization. We should say that product refilling optimization or something like that. If you had the time and energy to launch a course or write a book about what we just said, what would be the title of it?
The Tech Leap.
And why?
Because I think up until the last, let's say, 2 years, e-commerce companies were primarily marketing companies. And I think more and more, they have to become technology companies. They have to learn how to go beyond just copy-pasting some creatives or like Meta or like TikTok or whatever, and like have to actually think, how can I take my store and build the technology infrastructure around it so that it does what you said, like have a good customer experience. And this starts like from the very first visit to the website all the way to receiving the product. Like, how can I optimize all this? And thankfully, there's so much democratization, I guess. Like, what you can do today with very little money is like crazy. A few years ago, it would be completely impossible. So I would call it the Tech Leap. And I would basically say the main premise would be that to move ahead and compete in today's environment, you have to stop being a simple seller of goods, but you have to become also a technology company.
Great. And last but not least, I want to give some seeds and nutrition for D2C brands to grow. So there will be 4 quick questions, and I want some quick answers from you. The first is, what books would you recommend to read for a D2C brand? You already mentioned Alchemy, but other than that?
I guess like a good one is The Lean Startup. It's kind of an old one, but it helps when you launch new projects. And I guess like a lot of our listeners are going to be beginners, so I think it would be very helpful.
The second is, what is the biggest mistake that D2C brands could make? The single biggest one?
They do not hire experienced people.
Mm-hmm. So they should. The third is, could you tell me your quick growth tip related to D2C brands, if there is any?
Do what I said in this podcast. Do research, find what people experience now and what they want to experience in the future. Collect that through pop-ups or quizzes or something else. Use that to personalize the emails. And then when they purchase, give them a good experience, getting them to use more of your product. It's not like a quick tip, but it's a real tip. That's what they should do.
Yeah. And we already said the quick tip about sending this plain text email with a mystery discount. Yeah. And the last question is, what tools would you use as a DTC brand who wants to grow?
Number one is the answer, Optimonk, for sure.
Thank you very much. But other than that,
the main tool that I use and I highly recommend that people use is Klaviyo. Klaviyo is a very powerful email service provider, but it's actually so much more than an email service provider. Recently, they launched a review solution. They have an SMS solution. It's basically a hub wherein your customer data is stored. Yes. And it allows you to do like all sorts of things that's way beyond just sending newsletters the way most people call them. It allows you to create customer journeys, as we discussed. It allows you to create bespoke advanced automation. It allows you to personalize. It allows you to do all sorts of things. So Klaviyo would be number one. Number two, Optimonk is number one.
Thank you, George, for accepting my call and giving this tremendous amount of value for the listeners.
And don't forget to try these tips today. For more seeds and nutrition, stay tuned for the next episode.